Hi, everybody, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the PHNX Suns podcast. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and leave us a five-star review. I'm Lindsay Smith, here with Saul Bookman, Gerald Bourget, and Espo. Happy Tuesday, everybody. How you doing?
Oh, it is a happy Tuesday. I just had the biggest moment of my professional career.
Wow.
I did.
What's that?
Frank Kaminsky followed me on Twitter.
Oh, let's go. Watch out, world.
Hold on. Gerald, let's pull back the curtain. Gerald goes, I don't want to make you jealous, Espo. But, and he turns his computer and goes, and he points that Frank just followed him. So I'm like, I'm in my feels, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? Really? Why? I carried the water for Frank Kaminsky's tenure in Phoenix. I'm searching frantically for an authentic game-worn Frank Kaminsky jersey, and this guy gets the follow. And then I went to my Twitter, and I got the follow too. So Frank, we love you, man. Best of luck with whatever you got going on, you know, basketball-wise or life-wise.
Wow! Congratulations, guys! Oh, what an awesome 3 p.m. nugget of information for you guys to both learn at the same time.
You're not sure the love? That was not followed? And that's perfectly fine.
That's rude.
I'm just going to say this. I'm glad Jock's no longer on Twitter, because I would be very conflicted. My new guy and my old guy kind of met, and it would be awkward. But luckily, we don't have to worry about that.
You don't have to worry about the drama. The drama. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, let's get into some Suns talk here. The biggest news, of course, that everyone continues to ask about is Kevin Durant. What's going on with his injury? What updates do we have? What's the latest? Well, we did get an update from Shams, and here's what he said.
Yeah, Kevin Durant's doing more and more on the court. I would expect more evaluations later this week. I think there will be potentially an update later this week and early next week when they reevaluate him and see exactly how much progress he's made. But definitely there's optimism within the Suns that they're going to be cautious, but they are hopeful that he's going to be back in lineup before the end of March, potentially early April. The goal was always here, 2 to 3 weeks in that range. But they're going to be cautious. They know the best time for him is playoff time. So making sure that he's 100%, not rushing him back, I think that'll be a priority.
So no shade to Shams, but the update is the same update they originally gave us?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so he may be back at the beginning of April, which is 3 weeks. Way to go. Thanks for telling us what we already knew.
Listen,
Gerald,
I know.
Do you have a Kevin Durant update you can give us?
Yeah, so they're going to be cautious with Kevin Durant, and they're going to play it by ear, probably get him back right before the playoffs.
You heard it here first.
I'll take this non-update update over an update that is a setback, right?
That's fair.
If we're trying to be positive here, at least the timeline that they originally gave us still seems to be the timeline that he is on.
I feel like we get such an alternate universe Lindsay on this show. I swear, you were like the most optimistic person ever on this show, and I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
It's because the three of you are the most doomsday. Well, not Gerald, but the two of you, Espo specifically, is doomsday every day. You ride the fence sometimes, and Gerald's just like, well, sometimes, but not always.
Doomsday.
Pot calling the kettle black on riding the fence over
about
here.
About doomsdaying is what I'm specifically talking about right now.
Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. If we had gotten no Kevin Durant news, that's good news. I don't need the press release being reread to me right now to feel okay. Kevin Durant's coming back. It'll happen before the playoffs. That's good news.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, I missed your doomsday, right? Yeah.
I mean,
you are the
somebody
jinx,
had a knock on the wood.
You are the jinx, though, Espo. I thought we learned our lesson just the other day, did we not?
What did I do? What did I do to deserve this?
Nobody knows. You tell us. What did you do?
I don't know. Root for this team my whole life? Is that what I did that was so wrong?
Maybe.
Maybe you stole your wife from Basketball Cthulhu, and now he's making you pay.
If I did, then Basketball Cthulhu is one real asshole. Let me tell you that.
I don't know. I mean, I'm cool with this update. I hope that it remains the same throughout the entirety of his injury and that we do get him back in 2 to 3 weeks, whatever, 2, 3, some change here and there, mm-hmm. give or take. I'll be happy with that.
The only real update that we've gotten so far was the other day when he was getting up standstill shots for the first time in practice. And that was pretty much just, yeah, that's the next step in his natural progression. We're going to take it day by day, see how he responds to this step before we go to the next one. It's just going to take a little time.
I think, you know, yeah, it's going to take a little bit of time. And it's much like the chat right now. You know, they just got to ease into it. Mm-hmm. So, Amelia, don't freak out. Everybody usually shows up here within the next 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it'll be fine.
We appreciate you being there, Amelia.
Yes,
but Lindsay, way to kill my buzz. I felt fantastic. I rolled into this show super hype. Frank Kaminsky's my friend now. And you just want to just be like, hey, you're a downer. You're not Eeyore.
I'm not going to let Lindsay take the heat on this one because I kind of set her up for failure.
That's facts.
One. I kind of
yell at Saul.
I kind of dropped a grenade and I ran out of the room.
You did. You're like, let me just see what kind of drama I can optimistic cook up
Lindsay,
here on
no
Tuesday.
Way. Bye.
I'm just going to sit here sullen the rest of the show.
All
and
right. Well,
for the person in the chat who asked, hasn't it already been 2 weeks on the Kevin Durant thing? 2 weeks as of Thursday. So
this Thursday?
We're coming up on 2 weeks.
Yeah, right. But he turned the ankle on a Wednesday, so we'll say 2 weeks from
that's tomorrow. Also fair. Yeah.
Optimism, Lindsay.
Okay, whatever you say.
Okay. I think his ankle still exploded and they're just lying to us.
Oh my
probably.
God.
Goodness gracious.
Probably.
Oh, I'm supposed to be that guy, so I'm just going to play the part now. Thanks, Lindsay.
Okay.
Oh no.
Well, you know what? We do have a game tomorrow. It'll be without Kevin Durant, but it's a big game.
Who's negative now? Maybe he'll be back tomorrow.
Did you not listen to Sean's update? Late March, early April, I suppose. So we're playing the Lakers. Obviously, of course, we're at the time of the season where every win is a necessity. You want to always get wins, especially when you're looking at the standings from the Suns' perspective. In addition to that, it's the Lakers, and you just always want to beat the Lakers no matter what day of the week it is. Mm-hmm. But there's also another reason why the Suns need to show up big tomorrow. This tweet from Shane Young, he said, Phoenix can clinch a potential tiebreaker over the Clippers just by defeating the Lakers on Wednesday. So this is going to be a big game for multiple reasons.
So this has to be the Pacific Division record, correct?
Yes.
Because they'll be 10-3 if they win.
They'll be 10-3 in their division if they win. The Clippers are currently 7-7, and the best that they can get to is 9, I believe. So if the Suns win against another Pacific Division opponent in the Lakers, they'll clinch that tiebreaker, which means the Clippers would have to have an outright record that's better than the Suns to pass them.
And they have two shots at it this week with the Lakers and the Kings to be able to clinch that.
Yes. And people love to say divisions don't mean anything anymore.
This is where we've gotten to. Divisions come down to tiebreakers.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Hey, when it's this close in the West, you got to look at those little things, right?
It does. True. They do make a big difference. There's a reason
you
why
gotta
they are
part of
the game.
You got to keep that four seed for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But so that's something to keep an eye out on for tomorrow. In the chat, we did get a couple things. Jan Paul Edwards said, any news on Ayton? As far as I know, we haven't gotten an update on DA. The team did fly back to Phoenix after their game on Sunday before they head out, I'm assuming this afternoon, if they haven't already
left.
They're
on the plane right now.
Yeah. I could see that. So we didn't get any practice updates from them. They may have practice, but, you know, sometimes when it's a travel day, they don't open practice to availability, so we have not gotten an update. The earliest we'll get one probably is tomorrow, unless injuries come out this evening, right?
Yeah, we'll get one to this evening as far as the injury report for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll have been upgraded to at least questionable or something tomorrow, but we'll see, because they've had a good amount of time in between Sunday and today. Hopefully that hip contusion isn't anything that'll hold him out for another game, but we'll see.
Yeah. And then Det said, at least we have Shamet back, which, listen, you could be joking here, but honestly, I think you should be for real. It is a positive that Landry Shamet is back. He was a contributing factor in Sunday night's game. Even though they lost, he did add buckets off the bench. And that's something that we have desperately needed with Kevin Durant out.
Hell shizzle was for Rizzle.
Lord have mercy.
Did Saul really, just say that?
Yes, he did.
start him over Torrey Craig.
Start him over Torrey Craig?
Yeah. Why not?
I mean, that's a super small lineup, but
if you're gonna get these wide open corner threes, I feel like Landry can hit him at least.
He can. He's kind of bridging the gap between Josh Okogie, who is defense first, and Terrence Ross, who is offense only. Like, he's the happy medium between those two options at the two spot, I feel like.
Terrence Ross, offense, offense, offense.
He's the Human Torch for a reason, but yeah, he's right in between. And if Josh Okogie cannot prove that he can continue to hit looks, Shamet is the guy that you're probably going to look at maybe eating some of those playoff minutes. I don't know.
You guys are going to rue the day that you ever said anything negative about Terrence Ross.
He's totally going to win them a playoff game where he drops like 20 off the bench. But the question is, will he be able to stay on the floor long enough for it to happen more than once?
Do you remember Tim Thomas back in the 7 seconds or less days that they picked up in a buyout like this? I think he had a couple games where key threes and stuff he hit. I'm sure Terrence Ross will do that. But it's just the other times that you're watching Terrence Ross and you're like, literally that ball hits his hands and it's up towards the rim faster than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah. I will say with Terrence Ross, he's gotten better defensively in his time here with the Suns. The first handful of games we saw him out there, they were like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Kind of problems. And then on Sunday, it was like, okay, at least you're starting to see him understand more. Maybe it's the verbiage that Monty was talking about when they play defense, things of that nature. So I will give him credit for that he has gotten better defensively. And that's a positive.
Yeah. And this is something that I wrote about last week on gophnx.com if you haven't checked it out yet. But he was talking a lot about the defensive adjustments going from a team like the Magic that was a younger team. They tried some switching schemes early and Jamal Mosley was like, nah, we can't do that with this group. So they fought through everything, and now he's back on a more experienced veteran team where they're fighting through a lot of screens, and they're switching also. And he said the hardest part of the adjustment was getting used to when to switch, when not to switch. We saw a couple of examples, and they're in that article as well. But it really is just a question of, can he be just good enough defensively to let his offense shine through? Because he really does have a valuable rainbow arc release that is valuable come playoff time when a lot of these shots are going to be more contested.
When we talked about it, he was almost over switching to begin with. And now it feels like he is settling in a little bit more like Lindsay was saying. So hopefully it evens out enough where it doesn't feel like a net negative while he's out there.
Where he's not a total liability. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So we'll keep an eye out on that too as the season winds down here.
Gilbert Albayo in the chat is clearly talking about TJ Warren. You can't see me.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Poor thing. I mean, we did get asked, I'm that dude, said, is TJ playing today? Which I'm sure they meant tomorrow, of course. But I did find that interesting that the one guy who didn't see any playing time was TJ Warren on Sunday.
I think it's more likely he's playing today than he is tomorrow.
Oh, shit. Damn.
That said, it looks like TJ's getting the Aaron Holiday treatment.
Catching strays on a day off, man. That's a tough way to go.
Yeah.
That's rough.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't have a reason for you.
I think it's going back to what Monty has been saying, is that he wants to put the guys out there who defensively know what is going on. And I don't know if TJ fits that category. And with the way he's kind of shot since he's come here, and in very limited minutes, to be fair, but he hasn't really done much offensively to warrant him playing on either end.
I was just going to say, I think Monty wants guys to shoot whenever he can, right? Whenever they're open. And TJ has seemed very hesitant since he's been here. And I think that's part of it as well. Monty wants a guy that's just going to go out there and shoot. And if TJ isn't even willing to do that, well, then he's not out there for any reason because he's not a defensive guy either. So I think that's part of it as well.
I just don't think that part of the argument I can get. The defensive part of the argument I don't get, because you threw Terrence Ross out there and he didn't know what he was doing either. And you gave him the room to figure it out. Why didn't you give TJ Warren the room to figure it out? Now, if it comes down to passing up shots, and that's the reason, then I get it. Yeah. But if that's not the reason, it has anything to do with defense, then I'm not buying that.
It's both of those things, and also the fact that they heavily recruited Terrence, and TJ was kind of just a throw-in.
We need to make these salaries match.
Yeah. But
poor TJ.
Yeah, it's tough. Know.
Well, yeah, there is no game today, but there is a game tomorrow, and it's against the Lakers. And somebody, Matt in the chat, said, I'm staying off Twitter and this chat tomorrow if we lose to the Lakers. It'll be a total gong show. All I can tell you is to prepare ahead of time.
And one way to do that is
with four peaks.
Yeah.
Hand in hand with watching sport. It's just not the same. A Suns game is just not the same.
You're right. It's not the same.
Without some Four Peaks beer. Wow. Look, we got a cameo from Derek on a dinosaur.
Drink that.
It's a patriotic dinosaur.
America.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
What?
Tomorrow.
Oh, this is a Southwest Bias plug. Tomorrow, 10:30, Southwest Bias. He's going to try to beat me.
Is there a reverse on that thing?
Watch Derek in the live
watch.
Oh, my goodness gracious. But yeah, pick up some Four Peaks beer before tomorrow's game. And also, on the Cardinals side of things, lots of things happening, right? New coach, new GM. The Cardinals have the third pick in the draft. It's a big opportunity for the squad. And the best place to take in this pivotal moment and the rest of the NFL draft on April 27th is at Four Peaks 8th Street Pub. So check it out. You do have to be 21 years or older to enjoy Four Peaks beer, and we ask that you enjoy responsibly. Now, if you are like Matt and you maybe are starting to get really, really, really nervous about potentially losing to the Lakers tomorrow...
OGs.
And specifically the Sleepy Time Gummy, the Sleep Edition gummies. These will make sure that you get a good night's rest, that you fall asleep and you stay asleep. Your mind won't wander. You know, sometimes when you're tired and you lay down and then your mind starts wandering and you're just like, please just shut off so I can go to bed. I don't want to think about the Suns losing anymore. These are what you need to get your hands on. They are a 2-to-1 CBN THC ratio, and that compound CBN is what helps with specifically falling and staying asleep, helps with rest and relaxation, and that is in the aqua berry flavor, which is delightful. So you guys can get your hands on these at your local dispensary or by checking out ogsbrands.com. Again, you must be 21 or older to enjoy.
You fell asleep. It was 13 pages front and back. It's actually 18 pages.
I want to apologize to each and every one of you for Derek's behavior. Just because he's going to lose tomorrow on Southwest Bias, he's got to act out now.
So. That's fair.
I didn't think an apology was necessary. I liked it.
So it's like, I'm here for the payoff.
I liked watching him trot off with it. There's no way to walk in that.
just the backwards walk was awkward and fun. So.
Hold on.
For the audio listeners, I just realized they have no clue what happened. Yeah. Derek Montilla, the host of the Diamondbacks show, walked out in a
star-spangled banner dinosaur.
Inflatable thing that he's wearing because they're doing a live watch-along for the World Baseball Classic final tonight.
Which should be fun.
It's just Derek being Derek. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if you know Derek, you would expect exactly what you just saw.
Yeah.
And if you don't know Derek, you should get to know Derek on the D-Back show. All right, so we did get an update from NBA officials on Twitter today about that Giannis Torrey Craig run-in. I was trying to think of a polite way to call that.
More like a rundown.
I think it's assault as Shane
assault him down in the street.
So you all know what I'm talking about, right? This is when Giannis just put his shoulder down and ran over Torrey Craig before knocking his tooth out. But NBA officiating tweeted out that highlight with this description. They said, "We've discussed throughout this series the importance of legality versus force. Craig is not in a legal guarding position in the path of Giannis. The lead correctly calls a block based on the defender not being legal versus giving into the force of the play. Hashtag block charge Monday." So this is something they put out to try and help educate us, if you will, on why the whistle blows the way it does.
So what they were saying is, may the force be with you, basically. I mean,
good luck to you.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the way I read that is Giannis could have sucker punched Torrey Craig. And since Torrey Craig wasn't in the defensive position, it's not an offensive foul.
Their memo is basically get fucked the rest of NBA. Because, what else are you supposed to do? You can't do anything. You just ran him down. Like, I don't understand the legal guarding position. It's complete horseshit. And, like, if this is how he's going to be officiated again in the playoffs, you might as well just give the Bucks the trophy because there's nobody on earth that's capable of stopping that.
Earth. ERF.
No one on earth.
And did they clarify, is this just Giannis that can do this?
Yeah, is this available to everybody?
Giannis and SGA. Yeah.
I mean, can Ish Wainwright put a shoulder into somebody? Because I'd like to see that.
He's too big. Like, you'd have to call it on him.
Isn't Giannis bigger?
I mean, yes, but I'm just going by the NBA's rules because this makes no sense.
Do you have to have the ball, or can I use Ish Wainwright as a blocking back now and just run him through the lane with Devin behind him?
I actually kind of agree with the referees.
Oh, my God.
Stop it.
This better be the most sarcastic you've ever been.
I couldn't even say that. Oh, that was terrible.
They're trying, though.
What? Lindsay, optimism on that?
Come on, man. I love that they're trying to convince us that our eyeballs are incorrect, that what we saw was okay.
It's wild that they're like doubling down on this.
They're like no, you guys are all wrong. Mm-hmm. This is totally acceptable.
Look, Torrey Craig is a bit player and Giannis is a superstar is what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather they come out and go, look, superstars are going to get different treatment in this league than anybody else. And if you try to pull that on a superstar, you're not going to get the call. And then I go, okay, I can accept that because that's what we've dealt with the last 30 years in this league. But trying to make me believe that somehow that fits in the rule book and that this is the way they're going to call any play that goes like that is just utterly ridiculous.
Yeah, that was brutal. When I saw that come up on my timeline, I was like, okay.
I was like, oh, shit.
That's a choice. But, that is a choice.
So, but if this is the case, I mean, do you just turn into being the heel at some point? Like, do you just try to enforce will now? Like, do you try to be more physical?
I think so. I think at some point, once you see Giannis lower that shoulder, sweep the leg. Just fucking sweep the leg. Sweep the leg, grab that right arm, pull him down. Hopefully he doesn't bust his tooth on the ground. Like, I mean, Raja, what do you want to do? You got to do something.
If you're going to get a foul, make it worth it.
You might as well make it worth it. Hack the shit out of him.
Oh, no. Yeah. What are we turning into?
Yes, it's true. But he's literally hurting players out there. And, I mean, what's the alternative? The NBA officials are going to back Giannis almost 100% of the time for whatever damn reason. And if you're a player and you know you're in a pretty good position and you get absolutely mollywopped to the 15th row, you got to do something. And I say, take his ass down. Sweep the leg.
Cobra Kai. I'm not saying you are in the wrong. I'm saying, how did we get here in the sense of why are the NBA officials putting us in this position where that has to be the solution to the problem?
I think the truth is that Giannis is really, really hard to officiate because he is bigger, stronger, and longer than everybody that's out there. And they don't know how to officiate him properly because he moves so quickly. He takes two steps to the basket. He's there. And he does play physical, so he has that reputation and he gets the benefit of the doubt as a superstar a little bit more than he probably should. And I think that's the frustration for Monty and the Suns, especially with matchups like this, is they're asking the officials, what are we supposed to do? And they're not getting a lot of clarification. So how are you supposed to guard him? You're running out of options. Clearly what they've been doing is not working. I'm not going to be a proponent for hurting somebody, but yeah, you've got to be more physical and make it hurt when he comes in the lane. Otherwise, and that's easier said than done because somebody in the chat said earlier, I would give my left leg to take a charge from Giannis. You might literally give your left leg if you took a charge from Giannis.
Or at least your tooth. We've seen that. Look, I think you're being far too kind to the refs, Gerald, to be honest. My simple answer to you, Lindsay, is they're bad at their job. I mean, they're bad across the board at their job. And I think we all are getting to the point where I won't say there are some good refs, but there are a lot that are very bad at their job. And we're getting to a point where we have to admit that.
It's hard. It is hard to referee NBA basketball games. Mm-hmm. And to Gerald's point, like, just imagine you're on the baseline, okay? Because that's where the lead official was, right? Mm-hmm. He's on the baseline. He's got the action coming to him. And you see Torrey kind of turn his body a little bit and then get sent to the 15th row. Like, in fast real time, you might make the same call. Because it's so hard. It's so bang, bang. Now, the force is what makes this egregious. But at the same time, if he wasn't in position, it's like, well, refs have been taught. Like, well, then fuck that dude. If he's not in legal position, that's it. I don't think that's the right way to go about it. I think there's a cause and effect here. And I think Torrey, I thought, had good enough position. Mm-hmm. And then obviously got the shoulder. So it's just so hard, though. It's really hard.
I get that in real time, but
it's tough, though, because like with a lot of offensive calls like that, you can see the elbow extend, you can see the stiff arm or the push off, whatever you want to call it. With Giannis, he just lowers the shoulder, so it looks like he's compact and still driving. And I think because he's so quick and strong, it makes it like for us it seems obvious, but like he said, it's in the moment, it's happened so fast. It's a bang bang play. And because he has this reputation, it is what it is. I would love to see the Suns try to play like that every once in a while, but they don't have the personnel or the mindset for it, honestly. So,
but it's the doubling down. It's the after the fact putting out this video on social. It's if you review that call, they don't overturn it. Yeah. I'm okay if in the moment, in a bang bang situation, you make the wrong call. But trying to defend it and trying to be like, no, this is right. And this is an example of being right is what really bothers me about it.
Well, and the other thing, too, that is the most frustrating is that it had this been anybody else on the court, you probably wouldn't have called it the same way. And I think that's what makes it so egregious. This may be by the book the correct call, but unless we're going by the book for all of them, then you can't be like, oh, well, this one was okay.
You need to write a new book yours if this isn't. Is by the book.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, look, for me too, if this is the way it's going to be called, the Suns have got to stop complaining the way they are and just play by these rules. Because I don't think the constant, you know, complaining about it is going to help in this situation. This to me is them saying, you guys need to shut up because this is the way we're going to call it. So if it is, start doing it yourself. Do what Saul's saying and make the hard foul. Like if physicality is back in this game and they want it like that, then give it to them. You know,
I'm not saying to hurt anybody either.
No, right.
But yeah, you gotta, you know, sometimes you just gotta, you know, pound it down low on the post and just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that came really close to you.
Gerald's like, great.
I was kidding around.
I fucking lost a tooth over here.
I really like this comment from Det in the chat. They said, charge Giannis, attempt a free throw. Instead of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah. I like that name.
We got it.
We might need to make that a thing. Well, y'all just didn't acknowledge it. So I was like, okay. Thank you, Shane. Thank you.
I was trying to read the comment and didn't see it. And then I just,
y'all are just like, uh-huh.
That deserves last, but my warrant thing didn't, Shane. Okay.
Well, no, warrant does. That definitely.
See how it is.
Okay, so is Giannis the reason why Chris Paul sent Mikal Bridges a Brooklyn Nets helmet?
I sure hope so.
Hell yeah.
It's so fantastic.
Yes. It's got to be, right?
It's got to be.
I mean, there's no other reason. It's just like, hey, buddy, buckle up because the East ain't easy and they're allowing physicality. So.
Yeah. So Mikal posted this on Instagram. It is a custom Brooklyn Nets football helmet that has, I think, an MB on the back of it as well. Specifically custom made for Mikal Bridges. Maybe we need to get Torrey Craig one of these too. I'm just saying.
Maybe. We need to get him one just in general because that dude takes a beating on a nightly basis. I love the video though. Mikal was like, yo, I hate this dude. I hate C, which is what he always says about Chris Paul. But meanwhile, he's laughing his ass off at this awesome present. So
I do love that there's multiple things. He's trolling Mikal here too, right? He's like, you're too small. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're going to get hurt. He's trolling the refs. Like, without saying anything, he basically said everything. And I love it.
I want that helmet.
It's a nice helmet.
It's a clean helmet.
It is. I just want to know, like, is there an additional inside joke with this? Or is it what we all are assuming it is with the whole, like, Giannis thing? Because if there is an additional inside joke, I need them to spill the tea.
Yeah.
I want to be in on this.
You best believe I will be asking if we get a chance when they come back. It's not for a few days, but this is too funny to not ask about. So what's with the helmet, man?
See, that's the hard-hitting journalism we're all here for.
You got to ask him, too. Do you have a helmet guy on standby? How do you make a helmet happen so fast and ship it to Mikal? Like,
you know how?
Lots of money.
Yay.
You can get anything done with the right amount of cash.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, Tish. Tish said he didn't try to hurt Torrey. Stop it.
No,
he didn't try to, but he did because that's how he plays.
Like, and also, Torrey does get banged up a lot. So it's kind of just like a running joke.
I mean, yeah, I don't. At this point, I don't think Giannis, of all players, is a guy that's like, I legit want to go out there and hurt people.
Right. Yeah.
But he's also not going to not run through a guy if the refs are going to let him.
Yeah. He's also not going to help anybody up. Like, have you seen Giannis has no emotion when he steps on your jaw and cracks it. Like, he does not care. He's like, this is a game. After the game, oh, I'm sorry, man. Hey, you okay? Because he helped out Torrey the other day. Mm-hmm. But in the middle of the, that was a good impression, right? I didn't get any love for that, man. But like after the game, yeah, he'll apologize. But in the game, he's ruthless.
Oh yeah,
he's got that savage about it. Hey, I'm sorry. Yeah, are you everything good? That was good, right?
That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I mean, the hard part with Giannis too is that I want to hate him. And I can't.
Mm. It sucks to be you.
You can hate Giannis? You hate Giannis?
I'm there now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you?
Fuck that guy. He's going to stop us from trying to get another championship. I don't want any part of Giannis anymore. I'm done with him. Until he's done out of the league, I don't like him. I appreciate his gifts.
Yeah.
But I'm done with him.
I hate the player. I don't hate the person. Is that fair?
That's fair. Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't stand him on the court. But I don't despise him like I did others that have been in the Suns' way before. Robert Horry made it easy at the time to dislike him.
Sure.
Michael Jordan made it easy to dislike him as an opponent. Yeah, Michael, fuck them kids, Jordan. Yeah, he made it pretty easy to dislike him with his approach to his opponents.
But I feel like he's still in that Giannis category of like, God, I hate that dude because he keeps beating up on my team. But at the same time, it's like, I can't get mad at that dude because Michael he's Jordan, that dude.
Yeah, Michael Jordan and Robert Horry are in two totally different categories. Well, yeah,
but Michael Jordan did come off as a dick. Giannis does not come off as a dick.
In the games?
In general, Michael Jordan could come off as a dick.
Why do you think F them kids is a thing? That wasn't hilarious. In a game.
Because he said that.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. That wasn't in a game, and that was towards children.
Well, I got children, so and sometimes I want to be like, man, fuck them kids too.
It's all right if it's your own, but in general, it just seems like a rough statement. No.
Let us go out to eat with the missus, and inevitably, 100% of the time, there will be a baby right behind us, and we're like, man, motherfucker.
See,
like,
but Tish gets it. Who wouldn't want Giannis on their team, though?
Oh, no, exactly. Nobody would want him on their team. I wanted Michael on my team.
Yeah. Hey, if Michael wound up in Purple Orange, I would have kissed his ass. Let's be clear about that.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, man.
Okay. Ronald said, last few games, we're like a sponge. We're too soft on defense. Get it harder, Suns. Still believe in you. Keep burning. Do you guys think, stop it right now.
Roman.
Grow up. Do you guys think that the Suns should or would be allowed to be more physical on defense?
No. But look, if you're going to get the foul call anyways, you might as well just get the foul call. You might as well get your money's worth for fouling a guy. You
might as well give it to
you
him.
You know, like that's to me, yeah, hack him hard. Like, I mean, go at it. Saul, knock it off. Both of you stop it.
He started. I'm just trying to sit here and talk about basketball. Damn it. What were we talking about again?
Getting hard on defense.
Right.
Dear,
that was the phrase.
That's what was said.
That's exactly what was said. You don't be a sponge.
Don't. Sure. Whatever that. I don't know what that means defensively.
Defensively.
Are they sponge worthy? That's a Seinfeld reference.
Oh, gosh.
The difficult part here is I can't even transition into an ad because our next ad is serious and I don't want to go there while y'all are like
this. Then I'll just say I feel like the Suns for most of the season have been near the bottom of the league in sending their opponents to the free throw line. So this is something they've struggled with at times. I think for them, their frustration is not as much that they're fouling, but that they are not counteracting it by getting to the foul line themselves. And again, some of that self-inflicted with how many middies they shoot. So they need to be more aggressive in attacking the rim. And I think they need to develop a reputation of being more physical on defense, which they say they've been trying to do, but I just don't see it all the time. Do you think
it's a consistency thing as to why they're not being given the benefit of the doubt with that reputation?
Absolutely. That would be my guess. I can't speak for NBA officiating, but.
And I think Devin's gotten that reputation for
whining,
right or wrong, for whining about things, and refs don't take kindly to that a lot of times.
EJ has said so many times, like, there's a certain diplomacy you have to have when approaching the refs. Mm-hmm. And if EJ's saying that right now in Booker's eighth year,
yeah,
it clearly means that he's seen enough to know, like, Dev, stop approaching him this way. It isn't working. Mm-hmm. You got to stop. You got to come at it in a different way, because whatever you're doing now is just not playing well with the refs.
Isn't that the definition of insanity, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, continuing to do the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. Yep. Like, at some point in time, if what you're doing isn't working, then you got to change what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we complain about Luca, right? But his approach to the refs comes off as a softer touch. It may come off as annoying as hell to an opponent, but it's almost as if he's like, wink, wink, come on, guys. Like, right.
He butters them up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Never mind, I'm not going to say it. It's kind of mean.
Go ahead. Say it.
So, like, you know when somebody really wants to be, like, the cool guy? Mm-hmm. Like, and athletes are the cool guys, mm-hmm. right? And there's always somebody who wants to be accepted by the cool guys. I feel like the refs are those people who 100%. Want to be accepted. Mm-hmm. So if you're one of the top stars in this league, and you bring the refs in as if you guys are bros and buds, mm-hmm. they're going to feel some type of way about you that is a lot better than if you're talking shit to them.
Look, Luca flirts with the refs.
You kind of have to at this point, like, right?
Hey, you don't want to be part of this? Book,
play to their egos, because we all know these referees have massive egos.
Right. Luca plays to the refs. Book, like, his cheeks get red. He turns into Pikachu, and you know that he's just going to, like, lay into you. Like, it's, yeah. That could be part of it, honestly.
Yeah.
Never imagined Pikachu and Devin Booker would be compared on this program. Congratulations. I
mean, you've seen it, too. I've when he gets it. Those red cheeks, yeah. he's upset about it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll find out. All right. So, now that we're in a better place, let me tell you about a really cool thing that we are doing tomorrow. It is our first ever community day here at PHNX. And what that means is that all the proceeds from every Super Chat, from every show across the network tomorrow, will be collected and donated to Ryan House. Ryan House is a fantastic organization here in Phoenix that provides respite and palliative care to children and their families. And the children all have life-limiting disabilities or medical conditions that kind of make their life a little bit harder, right? And Ryan House is there to lend them a hand, to provide a safe and loving and warm space for them to be able to have some fun and some great times with their families.
So one of the things that I think I took away from this, I know you're about to finish this read, but one of the things that I took away last year was I didn't realize the importance of what that whole facility does to try and make it easier for the parents just to be with their kids instead of worrying about all the other logistical things. And I just, like, this is a really cool thing, and it's really cool that we're doing this tomorrow. And shout out to Lindsay for putting it together, because she's the one that really pushed for it.
Yeah, and we'll tell you a whole lot more about Ryan House tomorrow. But the biggest thing you need to know is that they're super awesome, and I love them. So come hang out with us tomorrow. Every single show, like I said, every single Super Chat. You could be super dope, and you could put a Super Chat in every single show tomorrow, which would be really cool. It all goes to Ryan House. Sean from our ASU show said today that if they get $200 in donations of Super Chats tomorrow, whoever donates the most, does the person have to donate $200 or is it $200 total?
A $200 total?
So it's $200 total, but whoever donates the most out of that group gets to pick the color that he will dye his hair. He'll dye his hair any color.
It took Sean a year to grow that hair out, and now he's dyeing it? Come on, man.
Hey.
Well, either way, he's spent a lot of time growing his hair out, so he is, this is a big deal, because he's obsessed with his hair. So
he looked like Kyle Kuzma last year when he was blonde.
He kind of did.
Well, the giant oversized pink sweater he wore, too, didn't help.
Yeah.
Look, I think we all should, you guys don't have to, but I think I'm going to come up with something where if you donate a certain amount, I'll do it on the post-game show or whatever as well. We'll watch the pregame show tomorrow, and we'll
come up
that.
With something fun.
We got to have fun with it. This is great.
Yeah.
Great cause. And I know something near and dear to your heart as somebody that works with them. And this is why we have a community like this, so we can give back. We have fun, but we can give back too. So I'm excited for this.
We raised $2,000 last year. First time we ever did it.
Is that how much we raised?
We raised $2,000 last year, and it was only our show. So we're hoping to raise, maybe five or six times that. and be able to really give him a good sizable chunk of change. So
nice. Awesome. Oh, I'm so excited. So come hang out with us tomorrow. This is a day that you cannot miss here at PHNX. Also, there are still spots available for our PHNX Tea Party this upcoming Friday, the 24th. Come hang out with us. Have a great time with food, drinks, golf. Obviously, we're going to be watching the Suns take on the Kings. We've got contests. We've got prizes. You name it. All the fun things will be out at this watch party that is happening at Dobson Ranch Golf Course. There are still spots available. So if you want to come hang out with us, check the link in the show notes of this show to reserve your spot.
They're going pretty fast. Last time I checked, we're going to have close to 100 people. Nice. We've only got a few bays left. Get yours now.
There you go. And if you are a diehard, you do get a discount. So check the exclusive Discord for your link. All right. Saul, you want to tell us about what people
Bad birdie,
wear?
Baby. When you're going to come out to the event, you might as well wear some dope Bad Birdie merch. And you can get yours by going to badbirdiegolf.com and using that promo code PHNXSports_15. And save yourself 15%, 6 new polos, 4 new quarter zips, a bunch of swag all over their site. Come out, look awesome, and have a good time. It's that simple.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, so on Sunday, throughout the game, we kept throwing out things that we wish were different about the NBA. So couple missed free throws early on in the game. Gerald was like, you know what? We need to come up with a better free throw rule. And then it was different experiences, right? Like challenges. When we all wanted Monty to challenge something, but he didn't. We need to come up with a better rule around challenges. So I want to know what you guys would change about the NBA to make it better.
Anything. Everything's fair game. Right?
Anything's fair game.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things. I mean, there's so many things that I think you could change for more entertainment. We've talked about this one before, but I want a uncensored broadcast where, like, if I pay a little extra, you got a broadcast team that's going to talk to you like, you know, like a real human would talk to you. I'd love to hear unfiltered Eddie Johnson call a game once.
Oh, my gosh.
Or have that kind of night at the arena where Vince Murata can it be like, Giannis for three, fuck that guy or something, you know, like where anything goes, right? And it would be so entertaining just to drop the facade of it has to always be family friendly, right?
I love that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Mine is actually more in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think dunks should be worth 3 points.
Okay.
Because if you do that, then you put a little bit more emphasis on the interior game again. And you know, maybe the 3-point shooting. Also, if you're close, yeah, I'm gonna get three. And I'm gonna try and dunk on somebody. The biggest thing I miss is the fast break, you know, the fast break being run effectively and, you know, good enough. The alley-oop on the fast break has been like basically gone now. I want to see more dunks, way more dunks.
Does it have to be like an emphatic dunk to count for three?
No, it just has
like
to
just
be
a little. Just,
that yeah, too? I mean, but, you know, you gotta. Yeah, you know, a dunk. A dunk is a dunk.
I know.
Whether it's just like this or you dunk on somebody, three.
Okay.
Because then if you get an and one, it's a 4-point play.
So logistical rule, what about the ones where they're like above the rim, they like throw it down, but they can't quite make contact?
No, you can review that to see if they contacted the rim. But like the Blake Griffin against the Knicks throw in dunk, that does not count.
Okay. I mean, I like that. And it would be interesting because it would open up threes more. And then DeAndre Ayton would be able to be a 3-point player again.
Hey-o. Could
finally say it.
mine
are kind of like offensive goaltending. They need to adopt the rule that's overseas. Like it's dumb that you can't, if the ball is above the cylinder and you're in position to put it back with a dunk, that you can't do that. That's dumb. My free throw idea was a fun one. That's just, if you airball a free throw, it's -1 point for your team.
I love that idea.
Because it just adds a whole new dimension to like late game foul shooting where like, let's say you get fouled and you're up three, suddenly it could be down to two if you just really let the intensity of the moment get to you instead of four. I think that one would be fun, but.
I would love last second shots like from half court.
Mm-hmm.
Don't count against your shooting percentage. So many guys have stopped shooting that shot just because, well, it's not going to probably go in and it'll hurt my percentage. No, I want to see that shot. Give me that shot all day long because there is a chance you make it. And there's nothing more exciting than a guy pulling up from three-quarter court and draining it at the end of a quarter.
Right. Mm-hmm. We should encourage these guys to want to shoot those, not be worried about how it's going to impact their shooting
percentage. Well, the analytical nerds are the blame on that one then.
I don't know if it's analytics or just like...
Yeah, he's actually shooting 45% from the field. Well, fucking three of them at the end of the first, second, and third quarter. What do you want, guy?
I feel like the analytics people would be like, here's what he's shooting that
they
it's
would
not
break it
in
apart. Those out. Yeah, the adjusting
scenarios. I'm just saying.
Mine is around challenges. One, as Long John in the chat said, if you win the challenge, you get to keep it. Mm-hmm. That's the obvious one. Ooh, but yes. I want to spice it up a little bit more. I like in the yes. NFL where you have to like throw the challenge, mm-hmm. right? That's mm-hmm. fun. I feel like there's a little bit of drama that comes with that. I would like to see maybe coaches have to hit a ref with their challenge. Like you get like a ball him. And you only get to use the challenge if it hits them.
What about this?
Like, I think it would be
ref
fun.
Is like dodging.
But if you miss, then you just got to try again next time.
What if
you miss?
What if each coach has one of those t-shirt guns on the bench?
Those
right?
things are lethal.
And you have to pull that out. You dial it back a little bit. I mean,
she's a little bit.
Put a hole in somebody's chest.
Hold on, those refs deserve a welt or two, right? For some of these calls.
I got him.
Shoot the t-shirt cannon.
I think I was more on board with Lindsay's idea when it was like, you know, those like sticky balls that you can like
yes,
throw and they like attach
yes.
to the Velcro or whatever. Just have the refs wear those
so
Velcro.
Fun.
If you're really angry, you pull out the Gorilla's Gatling gun of t-shirts and have to hit all the refs, you know, like, no, I think there's some other, you know, I would love to see the 1-on-1 free throw rule in the NBA.
I would too, actually. Yeah. I like that rule, especially, you know, if you're, I mean, like, let's say quarters, right? Once you get to the fifth foul, then it's a double yeah. bonus. Maybe you get to maybe 4 through 6. So there's 3 fouls and it's just a 1-on-1 shot. I like the 1-on-1 idea a lot.
Because in a league where you're going to give Giannis and some of these guys the calls, but some of those guys don't hit free throws well. So a 1-on-1 makes it more interesting and makes those feel a little less egregious if the guy misses the first half of that, you know?
Boo Boo's brother said if a coach doesn't use their challenge, it rolls over and you can accumulate them. While in theory, no. I like this one, no. I do have an issue because I feel like you'd get one game and it's just like 85 challenges.
Yeah. Oh my God. Could you imagine? We're in the NBA finals and there's just like,
right?
No, game 7. It's taken 5 hours yes. and 45 minutes because a challenge has been thrown on every other play.
I think you could roll it over one game, maybe. Well, I could go with that.
That's another idea that I have is that there is a 1-minute shot clock for officials when they review
yes.
anything at yep. the monitor.
And the monitor yeah. shuts off like, and you have nothing to do.
Right. Why even let, I think New York should make the call.
Yeah, that'd be
New
fine
York
by me.
New York should just, they should mm-hmm. get on the headset and the home office should go, wasn't a foul. Like I don't need to see two refs sitting there going, hey, rewind that again. Oh, rewind it again. Like, no, New York can do it. They can have somebody centralized there, make the call, make it quicker.
A lot of people in the chat, Marco said no blood, no foul. And a lot of people were talking about like Jesus. Implementing, you know, hockey fights, like you drop the gloves and you just go at it.
An NBA hockey fight that. Would be the lamest thing ever. It'd turn yeah. into a slap fight.
They well,
would
never, not only ever do that, but like hockey, it's a little different because I feel like yes, it's still technically a fight. You're throwing punches, right? But a lot of them keep their helmets on throughout right. this. They also have padding. Yes, you could be like, well, they're on knives and skating. I get that. But I don't know. I feel like it would end up being a lot worse in the NBA.
They're on knives. It's not like they're taking off the
no,
skate
but
going,
like, there
let's
is
go,
always,
buddy.
But that is the thing that's always said. I'm just saying. That
they also
what
have
said.
The ice right there. So when they're hurt, they can fall. They get the instant relief.
And it's already cold. So yeah, it's like, even if you don't put the ice on your face, you're still already like, you know.
Never in a million years would that happen in the NBA.
I don't think it would either.
Especially after the Malice in the Palace, I'm surprised we're even allowing hard fouls like this again in any way, shape, or form. Here's one that isn't specifically in the game, but it's All-Star Weekend. Players aren't in the dunk contest anymore. It's mascots. Mascot dunk contests.
I don't.
I would never watch that in a million
fire
years.
Fire props, like all sorts of crazy shit that you can do.
I think that would work for maybe 1 year as like an offshoot event.
Yeah.
And then I think.
Well, right now the dunk contest only works 1 year out of five, anyways.
I think if you get named to the All-Star game, then you should have to participate in one of the three events.
Ooh.
3-point shootout, skills challenge, or the dunk contest. Okay. You pick, and then the NBA can pick. They can rank what event you picked, and then they can say, okay, it's these top six that are going to do this instead of everybody.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
What about relegation?
No.
I don't want to see the fucking Iowa City Barnstormers in the fucking.
Is that any different NBA? than Indiana? Like the Pacers? Like,
yeah, it's a lot different.
It's very different. It's very different.
I wish teams were like Game Time, where you reward procrastination. So, like, you know how when you want to get a giveaway item, you have to show up like 2 hours before the game to make sure that you actually get one? I would like them to be more like Game Time, to where if I show up like 5 minutes before the game, they kept an extra box that they put out later instead of all of them being at the door. So they're like, hey, you want to
reward the laziest of fans.
It's not even about being lazy. Sometimes it's like you're coming from work or you have other obligations. You got to drop the kids off at a babysitter, whatever it may be. Not everybody has 2 extra hours on a Saturday to just show up and sit and wait outside of the arena to get a good giveaway item. Just put half of them out early and another half of them out for all of the procrastinators out there.
I think we're biased because we know who you are, Lindsay.
So. I think y'all are a bunch of haters. But you know what? You may not be able to get a giveaway item by waiting last minute at an arena, but you can get up to 60% off on your tickets when you wait till the last minute to buy them through Game Time.
We fell for it, boys.
And the best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. So check it out. Okay, Caitlin on Twitter had a really good one that I absolutely love. Uh-huh. So she tweeted, whose decision was it to say college names when they introduce an NBA player and not a fun fact? I am so here for this. Like, introducing Devin Booker and then instead of the college, you say, who is currently having beef with Bad Bunny? Bev, who once shoved Chris Paul in the back.
Number 34, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who once crapped his pants in the third grade. Would you find embarrassing stuff for the opponent?
Yeah, you could have all kinds of fun with this one.
My question is, you have to come up with 82.
They don't have to be different 82 times.
But you can't recycle the same fun fact because then it's not as fun anymore.
Yeah.
You use the college every single game. Like, we get it.
Because the college is like beefing. It's like pumping you up. Like, when you hear, out of North Carolina.
Yeah.
Number 23. Like, you think Michael Jordan.
Once told them kids to F themselves. Michael Jordan.
Doesn't quite hit as much when it does.
No, it doesn't. No.
Yes, for the one time.
That
one
does
time.
Not work at all.
For the one time it works.
I'm not there for fun fucking facts. I'm there for a goddamn basketball game. It's game 7 of the NBA Finals. I want to hear some stupid ass, oh, he likes lollipops too. Number 34. Like, I don't give a shit. Yeah. I don't care. Play the goddamn game. I'm hyped up. Let's go.
It can't work in the playoffs. It would have to be only regular season.
I'm okay with it only being regular season. But I think you guys are so boring.
You would need more fun facts.
Y'all are boring as hell.
You can't just recycle the same fun fact.
What I will say is, maybe they do a Nickelodeon style game, and in the game, they could do that stupid shit.
Oh my God.
Come on.
I like it if you keep the college and if you have, you use different fun facts. You can't just use the same one over and over. It's just not going to hit the same.
Long Shot Silver says, I don't care if Aiden loves grits and eggs.
Brian goes, fun fact, here's where he went to college. We already know, though, Brian. Mix it up every once in a while.
Number one, Devin Booker, who really likes to play checkers on the weekend.
You could also be really cool facts, too, like about his starting five. And you could throw charitable things in there. You could go,
it's a 3-minute intro.
I know, right?
Devin Booker, who likes his starting five, that's his charity event. Who are these five companies? You could donate to them. You got to go to the micro machine
With the flag waivers just tiring out because it's just taking forever. They accidentally hit the propane tank and it flies up. People die in the first row. Yeah. Good job there, people. Way to get more into the game.
This is not the reception Lindsay was expecting.
No, no, no. This is fully what I expected. Because you guys are boring.
No, I like the idea.
You're lame as fuck.
I actually don't think it's a bad idea to have fun facts like a pop-up video or the introduction.
For the game?
No, I want... What introduction? Okay, when you have to sit there 40-some-odd times in a season, which Lindsay and I have done and Gerald has done, you wind up just tuning all that crap out because you know exactly what's going to happen. I also think they should institute every 10 games, they should have to make a new intro video.
They have like four different intro videos.
Yeah, I don't know. I disagree.
The intro videos are great.
Experiencing being introduced into a starting lineup, like, It's not just a just normal go happenstance. Like, you get pumped up doing that. So if Devin Booker actually heard what they said on the loudspeaker about some ridiculous thing, that might actually demotivate him or deflate him, as opposed to getting him hyped up and keeping him locked in.
Oh my God! Yep. If that deflates and demotivates him, then my God, we've got bigger issues.
I mean, these guys are creatures of habit,
right?
They are. Like,
what if they get to pick the facts?
Yeah, like,
Devin Booker would say, yeah, no facts.
Then we're not going to get any fun.
Devin Booker would be like, Brian, here's the college I went to.
Facts them kids.
He's like, here's a fact. I went to Kentucky.
Oh, Ken's got a good one. Let the whole team write each other's intro lines. That would be funny.
Just make them up.
That would be hilarious.
I told you.
Oh, my God.
That would get ugly.
It would get ugly.
It'd be so
It'd be
good.
Great on this team. Imagine on a team that's like feuding or having a locker room.
So good.
Number 77 from Slovenia. He's a little bitch. Luka Doncic.
Oh, my God.
Like, dudes would be throwing out like who's like Eskimo brothers with who and all this other shit. Like, no, it'd be so awful.
You are taking it so far.
It's true. It's so true.
Freaking far.
Oh, where's the fun in that?
We do. really? We have some super chats.
We just lost that one.
Manuel, thank you for your super chat. Said on the spot lie detectors to truly see if the refs really calling the games fair or truth serum, and the refs get shocked when lying and then find a mill.
Oh my God!
It's the Greg most dramatic more aggressive foul every call time, ever.
I love it.
Was this idea sponsored by the Inquisition? Holy shit! We're gonna inject the refs with truth serum and then shock them.
Manuel is just wanting change for the better.
This ain't Game of Thrones.
It can be.
Somebody suggested independent refs that aren't hired by the NBA or the players, so you get where there's no impropriety. Them? I mean,
awesome.
A GoFundMe.
I can't wait to see Larry the Plumber show up from work because he's an independent ref and he's like, oh, yeah, foul. I don't like the way he looked at me. Like, what the fuck are we doing out here?
I mean, at least that's more honest than what we're getting.
No, I don't agree with that.
Here's another one. I want free agency to be like The Bachelor, where you have to like ask the player if they'll accept this contract on television and make it real dramatic. Like, so like the Pacers like offer LeBron and the Supermax.
You guys live in an alternate reality than I do.
You got to have some fun with it.
No player would ever do that.
Some of them would. Hey, they would have fun.
Hey,
with
if
it.
The money so, was right, yeah. they'd do anything.
Would you negotiate your contract in front of everybody, in front of a live studio audience?
If I had a good agent that was there with me,
guess
that's
what?
Just like, that's basically like a lawsuit.
Because that's
right?
what's it's happening at the end of this. No.
Bring it on, Saul.
PHX.
Bring it on.
Arbitration.
Oh, dude, we get so many views.
All right, a couple more super chats. Roy said, question, God forbid the Suns don't get past the second round. Do you believe Monty is gone?
No. We talked about this before. I think Monty has had a very limited time with KD and a fully healthy team this year to figure things out. I think that'll be on his side if they fall short of their championship aspirations.
Next year's the year. If things don't happen next year, I think change comes after next season.
I could see it being more of a possibility next season, but I would be shocked if it happened this season.
It depends on how bad they flamed out. I will say that. If they got swept in the first round, that could very well happen. I don't know.
Depending on the circumstances.
I mean, everybody was healthy and they just looked like they couldn't do shit and he wasn't adjusting. Yeah. I mean, but he'd have to display gross negligence on so many different levels to get fired this year.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, I could see this. If he didn't get past the second round for the second year in a row with one of the better teams on paper in the NBA, you definitely got to question his value as a coach. And yes, he will be on the hot seat.
Yeah. All right. And then this one is from Laking. Thank you, Laking. Said, do you guys think there should be teams the Suns would not like to play in the first round just because KD would have just gotten back from injury?
The only team that I could see the Suns not really being too thrilled to play in the first round is probably the Warriors. Just because, I mean, especially if somehow, some way the Warriors were to get home court advantage.
I was going to say, if you have home court advantage, it makes it
a little bit easier for sure. But I would say probably that team.
Lakers, if LeBron's back, because the size. I think that could be problematic for them with a KD that's just trying to get back in the swing of things. I don't think that they'd win, but I think it'd be one of those series that just isn't great for you.
I'm speaking for me and not the Suns, but I don't want to see the Mavericks in that spot because there's such a mental aspect to it that this team should be entirely beatable. They're only good at shooting threes and Luka, and that's all that they have. Their defense is trash, but for whatever reason, every time they've met this team in the last couple of years, it's been they just turn into a different version of themselves. So that would be my answer. Yeah. But they have a tough one either way, whether it's Clippers, Warriors, Mavericks. Like, all of those are not going to be easy first round opponents unless, like, the Timberwolves or the Thunder jump them. So,
yeah.
I think mine would be the Mavs as well, just because, like you said, the mental game. And then, God forbid, knock on wood, touch metal, whatever your thing is, if we get bounced by the Mavs in the first round after getting bounced by them in the second last year in that crazy fashion.
Not great, Bob.
We would, like, I don't even know how you come back from that. I don't even know how we react to that type. Like, that would just be sheer chaos that I do not want to ever
see. I don't know how we come back from that.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want that to even be an option. So I don't want to see the Mavs in the first round whatsoever. All right. Final super chat here. Two of them from Long John Silver sent us $2 and said, just want to say I freaking love this show. Then followed up and said that was supposed to be 20. And sent us 20. So that's $22 from Long John.
Thanks, Long John.
Thank you, Long John.
Thank you. We freaking love you guys. Thank you for always being here. It makes this way more fun. Way more fun with all of you guys.
It does.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today's show. Thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate you. Don't forget tomorrow, Super Chat Day, PHNX Community Day across the board. So plan to hang out for as long as you can. Get your Super Chats ready. And until we see you tomorrow, you can follow me on Twitter at LindsaySmithAZ. You can follow Saul at Saul_Bookman. You can follow Gerald at Gerald Bourget. And of course, you can follow Espo at Espo.
Starting at co-host, number one in your heart and on his jersey, Saul Bookman, who I ghosted for a year when he originally reached out to me.
This is true.
Ahoy, hoy. Lindsay, Gerald, Espo. Saul, pass the ball. We here to turn up the tempo. Got to understand me. Y'all always wreck the family. Rally in the valley like Dan G. No plan B. Always on the job. My team move like the mob. Turn the beat on. I throw it down like DA on the lob. Best combo since KJ, Marley, and Charles. If you squat, just sitting on the chat. Get in-